This is Normie from ZombieCast and Knuckleballer Radio, and you're listening to Sean from Horribly Awkward.
This is Aaron from The Hollywood Outsider, and thanks for listening to Horribly Awkward. You're going to feel uncomfortable when this is all over.
Hey, thanks for listening. This is Jesus Gonzalez from the Horrible Gamers Podcast, and you're listening to IAMS on Horribly Awkward, motherfucker.
This is Scott with the Gaming Outsider Podcast, and you're listening to Horribly Awkward. It's not horrible, but it definitely is awkward.
Hey, this is Faye at Faye Plays on Twitter, and this is Horribly Awkward.
This is Inspector Gidget from the XD Experience. You should totally check out Horribly Awkward. Sean is the man.
Here you go, sir. You wanted to roast a duck with the mango sauce? I hope you like it. Let me press. It's very hot. Please don't touch the plate. I'm putting it down here for you. I said don't touch the plate.
Whoa, hold on.
No, don't.
I don't even like duck.
You said you wanted the roasted duck with mango sauce. Now, what's up? I bring it to you? You know I made this for you. I went in the kitchen and made this for you because you're a very handsome guy. I know you know that. You're a very, very handsome guy.
Who the fuck are you?
Your hair is very soft, sir. Very soft. Sir. No.
Why are you running your fingers through my hair?
It's very soft, man. It's very, very soft. Would you like me to get you something else, sir?
Yes, phone so I can call 911.
Okay, 1 second. Here you go. Here's your phone. Go ahead, call 911. Go ahead, because my phone's rigged to dial straight to my apartment, so you have the phone number. You can call me later.
What?
It'll go to my phone. Wait, no, that doesn't make any sense. I wanted your... Here's the phone number. I wanted you to call my phone, so I got your number off my caller ID. Fuck, that just doesn't work if I give you my phone and just be calling my house. Damn it. I didn't think this out very, very, very thoroughly. Here's my phone number. Can you call it with your phone?
Okay.
1-800-AWKWARD.
Beep, beep, beep.
Hello, you reached Jimmy Johnson, and I'll leave a message if you're if you're one of the handsome guys I've trapped over at the restaurant. Leave a message. If not, I got your caller ID.
You're like the handsome guy restaurant trapper.
Anyways, sir, you're a very handsome guy, man. Would you like to do a podcast with me?
Not really.
Well, we're gonna do it anyways. Let's get horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Sean, dude, you're horribly awkward.
Sean, I know you think this is weird, but it's not as weird as you think it is, dude.
Don't think that it's awkward.
Welcome to the 13th episode of Horribly Awkward. I am Sean Fuller. As always, another podcast and another horribly awkward piece of poo-poo, awesome, amazing guest. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Hey, if you guys want to help in any way, it's very simple. Just simply tell a friend about the show. You know, you guys can simply just press that little thumbs up button, the thumbs up button on Stitcher. If you're listening on iTunes, just leave me a rating. Just 5 stars, because that's what it's worth. You guys can find me on Twitter at @awkward_podcast, Facebook, all that, blah, 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 blah. Leave me a voicemail, 510-600-3475. Okay, you guys, before I start this show, before I let you know who's on the show today, I'm going to give a little shout out to John L. Davis. He is the author of The American Revenant. Kind of a friend of ours, friend of mine, a friend through a lot of people that I know. And he has a book on Amazon. I'm just going to start off by saying this. Go check his book out. It's American Revenant Hometown Exodus. That's his very first book, and it is absolutely free. Just download it and read it. It's free. I just want to give this guy a shout out because we are friends. So support your friends. On today's show, you guys, this is one of the worst people I know. He is so horrible at gaming, he has a podcast called Horrible Gamers with a Z. Z. It is Horrible Gamers with a Z. I don't know why these guys are so ridiculous, but I thought I'd bring him on the show today. Mr. Daniel Bowden. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, thank you. That was the sweetest thing anybody's ever said.
Mr. Brink of Eternity himself, finally on Horribly Awkward.
How are you, John?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's the first time on Horribly Awkward.
Yes, I'm breaking my horribly awkward cherry.
You don't sound like you're prepared.
I'm not.
Should we take
Prepared, man.
Should we
live life on an unprepared basis?
Maybe we should take a little break so you could do a little cocaine or smoke a little weed, whatever that, whatever you guys do over there in where you live?
Wyoming.
Cheyenne?
Chi-town.
Chi-town. That's Chicago. Chi-town. That's Chicago.
Yeah, but if you're a wannabe gangster in Cheyenne, Wyoming, call it Chi-town.
I imagine the gangsters out there are pretty brutal, man.
Yeah, I've yet to see one, but I'm sure they are.
So, man, what's up? Dude, we've been doing the Horrible Gamers. Dude, it's like, look, how long? 81 episodes last night, which was just me and you. So this is like a part two of yesterday's podcast.
Yeah, pretty much, man. 81. That's crazy.
81 episodes. I feel like Jesus. When Jesus says, like, oh, 79, man, we're so close. I'm like, no, there's about 6 months left.
Man, 80 abominations and then one good episode, which is the one we recorded last night. So.
Dude, no, we had some good podcasts, dude. We had some good podcasts. We had some train wrecks, a lot of train wrecks in the beginning.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey.
I'm being bombed by my two-year-old.
Hey, two-year-old.
What do you want?
Yeah, she can tell her to say hi. Say hi. Say horribly awkward.
Can you say hi?
Tell her horribly awkward.
You say hi?
Say horribly awkward.
You're creeping her out right now. She's. I don't think she's going to say anything. She rudely interrupted me because she ran out of chocolate milk.
Oh, well, that's a good reason, man. I mean, when I run out of chocolate milk, I throw a fit. She's not throwing a fit, so I give it up to her.
Okay. Go on. No, no more. No more. Go on.
This is the real life segment of Horribly Awkward. This is when things get really awkward.
Close my door. Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome. That was real life. All right. Man.
That was, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, you know
what? I should have locked the door, I guess.
Uh-oh. Daddy's in the room and he has the door locked. What's going on in there?
Just another day.
Must be a podcast.
I'm usually back out in about 30 seconds, so.
Yeah, yeah. So what's up, Brink? How's your day going so far?
Yeah, not bad. I've just been lazy as shit all day, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, an hour ago, I was just sleeping because I could.
Yeah, you know what? Last night I was watching a movie, and I fell asleep way earlier than I normally do. I normally stay up till like 4 or 5 a.m., get up at 10. I fell asleep at like 1 o'clock a.m., and I didn't wake up till 10:30 to my alarm, which I turned off, and then I woke up at 11:30. So I got like a lot of sleep. Somebody was knocking on our door, so I go to the front door. They're like, hey, is your power out? And then I looked around the apartment because it was dark, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? It looks like there may not be power right now.
Just oblivious.
Yeah, I was like, I think it happened here too. Yeah, power
was out. Holy shit, my power's out.
Holy crap, because you got to reset all your clocks.
Is your power out?
I hate resetting clocks, man. It pisses me off.
Yeah, dude, that's the worst.
And then
that microwave clock, man.
And then my roommate gets home at like 12:30 and he gets a message on his phone. He checks his voice messages, and then it's PG&E just letting people know that the power's out for us. Like, oh, nice. Thank you for letting me know that my power's out. It wasn't the fact that I couldn't see anything. You know, I'd really appreciate it. If you didn't let me know my power's out, I would think I had power.
Hmm. Wait, how did they let you know?
They sent a voicemail.
Okay.
Like an automatic.
I mean, what if you didn't have a cell phone? How are you supposed to know your power's out?
I guess. I don't know, man. It seemed like, oh, thank you. You know, I really appreciate you letting me know that my power's out. I mean, it was pitch black, but yeah, thank you.
Exactly.
But anyways, man, I don't know what we're supposed to do now. You want to talk about what games we played this week? Or?
I think we've about covered that.
I think we about got awkward enough, man. I think. Well,
oh,
thanks,
man. It's your show, dude. You just take my hand and lead me through the fields of flowers.
There's no fields of flowers. You just like just goes. Like, what do you want to talk about? Oh, here. This is what I want to talk about. I got a question for you. Like, do you agree with me that people in general? I'm not going to say I'm out of this group of people. I could be slightly in this group of people. Do you think that people are just too damn sensitive nowadays?
I think it's taking over the world. It's freaky.
It is, but like,
go ahead.
There was this picture somebody posted on Facebook, this lady or something. She posted a picture of a Christmas tree, and she had like presents, like hundreds of presents around, basically covering the entire Christmas tree. I didn't really read into what this was about, this post or whatever, but people were freaking out because, like, as if she was showing off how much presents she buys, and some people were getting angry because they can't buy that many presents. But I think it was just a lady posting a picture of her Christmas tree. Why did people flip out? Why do they care? Like, why does anybody care?
Well, it's because we live in this cyber world that has created these super narcissists, man. Because these people are on social media, they're on Instagram taking selfies all day. They're connecting everyone else basically in hopes of getting attention. At least the majority of them. And so it's just all about them, you know. And they feed off of it, and they get addicted to it, and they see things like this, and they're such narcissists that they feel like.
Like they're aiming it towards them. Like, oh, this person is talking about me.
Yes. Like, how dare you? You know?
I just don't get it, man.
Yeah, it's insanity. I mean.
And this lady has to, like, defend herself over a bunch of people reposting her picture and blah, blah, blah. And then I found myself in some commenting on somebody else I know. Knows comments. I'm in there defending her too, in a reason like, why does anybody care? So, in a way, something so simple as somebody posting pictures in front of a Christmas tree impacted my day because I'm feeling angry that other people are feeling angry. And it's like, well, it just never ends.
So, who is this person who posted the Christmas tree picture? Just a regular lady next door kind of person?
You know, I didn't even really look into it, nor did I really care. I'm sure while we're talking, I can find it. Kind of find out what it was about. It's just like I don't know, man. It's just, I think everyone is just freaking sensitive. It's just pissing me off.
Yeah, we're in a culture that's being sissified, in my opinion.
But if it's pissing me off, then it's affecting me in a way. So it's this negative thing. It's, I don't know. Why do I give a shit enough?
Why do you let yourself get worked over shit like this? I mean, life is already a pain in the ass as it is. So do you really have to get involved in whether somebody posting a picture in front of a Christmas tree? Do you have nothing better to do or worry about?
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
That's true. I'm looking it up right now. It says, mother defends herself after Christmas tree pic goes viral. A mother's photo of her family's presents around the Christmas tree is sparking controversy. The pile of presents nearly eclipses the tree. Wow. Went viral after the mother who runs the blog, The Selfie Saver. I mean, that's right there. That's her problem. She runs a blog called The Selfie Saver. That's pretty lame.
Selfie Saver.
I'm going to link you right here in Skype, which I'm going to send you a link. I'll send that to you so you can see the picture of it. But you can just see, like, it's a ton of presents. Who knows what's in there, really? It's like, but why is she having to defend herself? She just posted a freaking...
Oh, that is awesome.
I thought it was...
Oh, man. Her kids are having a killer Christmas. Holy crap. You know, I would love to be able to do that for my kids.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Like, some people are getting pissed. Like, oh, I can only afford so many presents. I can't afford. Like, who knows what's in those boxes? And who knows if that's like that? Those could be for donation. Those could be for anything, right there. It could be for the. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe they have their entire family over around Christmas time, and they all open presents at one house. We used to do that as a kid. You know, back at my aunt's house, we'd all congregate there and put all the presents under the tree there.
Okay, if you scroll down, this is what the lady says. I know this page is going to be a bruiser, and I know I am in the papers today, so I thought I would set people straight on a few facts. This picture was put on my Instagram along with the pictures of homemade decorations I made with the kids. One picture of a tree. It was taken, screenshot, and blasted all over Facebook without my knowledge. It was not done with a bragging parent. It was not done as a bragging parent. In quotes, bragging parent. I'm 35, not 27. That's what it says. I don't know what the rest of this was, but it's just, I'm 35, I'm not 27. I had I don't want to read the rest of it. Okay, I don't really give a shit about the rest of it. There's actually a lot. I don't want to read it all. But I don't know. It just seems like people are – okay, there was a case recently on Facebook. A lady had – I don't know if you saw this. A lady had posted a pic of her dog with duct tape around its mouth.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
Okay, like as in the dog wouldn't quit barking, so she put duct tape around its mouth and just – that I understand people flipping out about, and they were looking for that lady for animal cruelty and stuff. Even if she just put even if you just put duct tape around fur, it's gonna be fucked up.
Yeah,
and that kind of stuff, putting that kind of stuff on Facebook, yeah, definitely. I see people getting sensitive over that. Animal cruelty is not cool, but this is a Christmas tree, man.
And it's not it's these presents and. So they're basically getting upset because they think she's showing off her epic pile of presents and somehow they're offended by it. I mean, what do they want her to do exactly? I'm confused what the uproar is even about. What's the point? They want her to return them all? Do they think she should have not bought as many presents? Why do they care how many presents this lady buys?
I don't know. Maybe
why do they care?
Maybe they think that she's buying their children's love with presents.
No. I don't know. What do they want them to send? What do they want her to send them the money? Is that what they want?
I don't know, man. Just like sometimes I just wonder why people get so sensitive. There's certain things that it's just social media altogether is super, super. Yeah, I try to post positive things. When I really like stuff, I post it on Facebook.
Dude, it's like that picture a couple years ago. It was this mom of like, five kids or something, and she posted a picture of herself with this super fit body after having her most recent child, and the internet just blew up. Like, how dare her look good and get fit after having all these kids, and how dare her take a picture of herself in a training bra and little workout shorts.
How dare her? Jeez.
Yeah, it just set the world on fire. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my God.
Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, well, we're in the middle of this movement. I mean, forgive me for going there, but we're in this middle of this movement where fat people are supposed to feel better about themselves. And so that's what it was all about. Like, how dare her show off her skinny body and be happy about it? Fat people are supposed to be the beautiful ones now.
It's like you can't be proud of anything. I mean, I could
say,
look at her from her point. She just had a kid, and then maybe she like got fit real quick, and then it's so simple. It's not like she's like, "Hey, all you fatties, look at you. You don't compare to me. I just had a kid, and look how great I look compared to you." It's not like that at all. But someone might take it as that. Someone might take it personal for whatever reason they take it personal. I'm not sure. I'm really my mind is blown right now. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Fatty McFatFat, look how skinny I am.
Okay, if it said that, hey, Fatty McFatFat, look how skinny I am. Now, people blowing up over that, yes, that's understandable.
It's not like, I mean, you know how hard this woman had to work to achieve that physique after having all those kids? I mean, she had to have worked her ass off, and she was proud of it, so she posted a picture.
So you're not allowed to be proud of anything. That's it. That's the social media way for 2015. You cannot be proud of anything.
Yep. You can't be. You can't have pride in your nation. You can't have pride in your religion. You can't have pride in your sexuality.
So
your marriage.
If you guys have a nice Thanksgiving dinner and you have a lot of food, so much food, there's going to be leftovers for 2 weeks. You can't post about that because there's a guy out there who's homeless on the street who doesn't have a phone to check his Facebook, but he still exists. You can't post that stuff because all you're doing is saying, look at you. You have no food, no money. You're living on the streets. Look what I have. I have food for weeks, and I'm probably going to throw half of it away because it's going to go old in 3 days.
Yep, they should get the president involved. And what he needs to do about this Christmas tree thing is he needs to make some new laws, and he needs to make it so everybody is only legally allowed to give their kid one present, and they have to distribute all her presents out to throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah, you remember when you were in high school, if you got caught with candy, like, do you have enough to share with the whole class, sir?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you have enough presents like that, you got to share with your whole block, at least your block. Yeah, it's just social media is crazy the way it is, man. I mean, I'm on there. I mostly post positive stuff. I mean, I try not to get too worked up. I mean, every post that goes out, I'm sorry to say this, but like they had the tragedy in Paris a couple weeks ago. It's like every time that someone's reposting that, it's just spreading the negativity. I mean, the news will cover it, but every hundred freaking posts that go out and they post it, it's just like spreading more negativity. And I understand, like, there was a big tragedy, and my heart goes out to all those people in Paris. And I mean, there's tragedies all around the world. It's kind of hard to not get focused on it, but it's just try to post the positive things about it. Like the way people band together, you know, change their Facebook status to, you know, support Paris or what was it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they had the flag, I believe.
Yeah, the Paris flag.
Like overlay.
Yeah, man. It's a sad world these days, man. It's just like, it's always been a sad world. Back in the day, 1800s, they'd just string you up in the middle of the street and make an example out of you and hang you in front of crowds of people.
Yeah, it's always been a sad world, but everybody was kind of in their own bubbles because we didn't have the internet. We weren't all instantaneously connected to every other person on the planet. And so you didn't hear about these things right when they happened, and you weren't watching it live, and it was sort of an ignorance is bliss type of deal.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. There's a lot you'd miss back. You caught it on the news at 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock exactly, or whatever those times were, or else you missed it. There was no social media. You know, you might run into a friend; they'll tell you. But I mean, you knew a lot less back then, and it's sad to say, knowing a lot less is better. But I think people weren't so up in arms about stuff when they knew less, because they knew less.
The thing is, you would sort of think that because people can now see what's going on, there were differences would be made and there would be activists everywhere. But it's sort of having the opposite effect, because now it's been happening so long that everyone's sort of becoming numb to it.
Yeah.
A lot of people see it and it's like just another day, another mass shooting, whatever, you know.
It is
what it is. I'm gonna go back to taking this selfie.
Yeah, you're actually right, man. It's like when the Paris, you know, that big tragedy happened. Probably everyone was thinking the same thing. They were the first thing they thought in their mind. I mean, obviously it's terrible. This sucks. You know, there's so many cruel people in life. But I doubt anybody was surprised. I doubt anyone said like oh wow, this is crazy. It's never happened before. There's so many mass shootings. They had this calendar I saw for the mass shootings, and it almost was all filled up with like how many mass shootings there were in a year. It was like 300 and something mass shootings this year. And a mass shooting is 4 or more people.
Well, just to set it out on the table, I'm one of those guys who is all about gun ownership, and I do not blame the guns. I do not want any of our guns taken away. I think it's the crazy people who are responsible for this.
Yeah, definitely. Did you see that video? Okay, did you see that video? I know you haven't been on Facebook because you got kicked off because you wouldn't reveal your real name. You wanted to keep Brink of Eternity. But there was a video I saw last week. These like 4 or 5 thugs, big black dudes, man, go into this jewelry store to rob them. It shows them they got cameras inside, they got cameras outside. They're going in like NWA in this motherfucker, man. They're running in like, give me all your money. They're like getting all the employees to duck down, customers to duck down. There's only a couple of people in the store. You know, they're all fucking thuggish. Like, give me your money. Did you see this video?
No, I didn't.
Okay, this is hilarious, dude. Look it up. Look online, look this up when you can. Okay, so they go in there. And they're like, got it, you know. It's like there's like a, there's, it's surrounded by those glass like jewelry store like, you know, boxes, desks type things where it's all glass on the top, you know.
Yeah.
So you can look in. That's surrounded. Okay, so this lady comes, this little old lady comes running out with a gun, right? She comes running out again, like, get the fuck out of my star.
No way.
There's no audio, so I'm not sure what she said. Those guys,
she said, break yourself food.
Dude, they all took off running as fast as they could. One guy almost knocks an entire one of those jewelry like things over. It like tips over. Like they all run for the door. It's a pull door. You know, it's a pull door when you're inside. You got to pull the door to get out. So they all hit, all five of them or four of them run into the door, and then they're trying to pull the door back so they can get out because the door doesn't swing open. And then they're like trying to run. Okay, the guy in the car is already taken off without them. So all five of these, it's like a circus show, man. They're all trying to run and get into the same vehicle as the guy's like taking off. Dude, it's so hilarious, dude.
See, that's all it takes, man. Just you pull out that gun that you have to defend yourself with, and they go running. They don't want to deal with that. I think I heard a statistic the other day that said out of the 10 mass shootings that have happened, the last 10 in our country, 9 of them have been in official no gun zones, gun free zones.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, you know, they're going into these places where they know there's not going to be any resistance.
Yeah,
because they want to kill as many people as they can before they go down, you know.
Or you're like these guys, dude. These guys go into a jewelry store. All of them had guns. They had guns in their hands. And one little lady comes out with a gun, and those guys run like cockroaches when the lights come on, man. They just fucking split, dude. They all run for the door. It's so funny. Like, the one guy's trying to pull the door open. They're all running into the back of him, pushing him forward so he can't pull the door open. Dude, I'm going to have to link you this video when I find it. Everyone look for this video. It's so funny, dude. It'll make you crack up. But they were also saying on the news it's not wise to, like, stand up for yourself and bring guns out like that. Like,
why the hell not, man? That's – we're Americans. That's what we're supposed to do.
You're talking about one little lady with a gun versus four or five guys with guns? Like, technically, that could have went way worse, and they could have shot. There could have been customer shot. There could have been employee shot. Like, this lady was like, you ain't taking my shit.
And she had every right to do that, to stand her ground and say, oh, hell no, not today, motherfuckers.
And she was short, dude. She was, like, 3 foot tall. She was like Willow with a gun, dude.
Oh, man. Willow!
Willow!
Cow, cow!
Willow, change me back. Not my Joey Star. Okay, guys. That was funny, man. But after me talking about spreading all this negativity online, I'm on my podcast right now spreading the same negativity. So.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go from here, man. I don't. Man, so you had some stories you were telling me yesterday through a text message that blew my mind because I had no idea. Let's talk about those, man. I want to talk about welcome to the story time hour with Brink. Everyone get their warm milk.
Children. I'm here to tell you a story. Wait, should I do it in like a British accent?
Sure, if you have one.
Hello, laddies. No, that's like, I don't know what that
it's
is.
Like a gay British.
Hello, laddies. What a hair a story.
Would you like to taste my tinkle?
Taste my tinkle. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell me a story, man. You told me a brief story.
We'll go dark. We'll, hold on, let me close the curtains and turn out the lights. Go dark here.
I can still see the light peeking through your curtain, though. And you take a thumbtack and just thumbtack the curtain to your wall right there in that corner.
Yeah. Put some aluminum foil in that spot. All right. Anyways, I grew up in Southeast Texas. I was born in Port Arthur, Texas. It's a shithole.
Is that close to Port Aransas?
It's not really, but I've been to Port Aransas.
I actually
have a little seashell with the Port Aransas. It's got a painting of like a whale on it.
I lived there for like 2 months, man. I loved it.
Did you really?
Yes.
Port Aransas has one of the nicer beaches in Texas. I mean, but the entire coastline down there is just gross.
It's gross.
The water's like a dark brown.
Yeah.
Smells like you're a little kid, so you're all excited and you're like, I'm gonna swim in the ocean. And you get your goggles and you dive underwater with your snorkel and you just can't see shit. It's just blackness. And you're like, wow.
It was. And there was all this seaweed and shit that would come up on the shore and it'd just make like 3 foot high piles of this stuff, man. Just gross.
Uh huh. Yep. But, anyways, my parents got divorced when I was, I think, 3 years old. And they had joint custody, so every other week we'd sort of hop back and forth between the two. My mom, my mom was something. I still to this day, I try to figure out exactly what her deal was. But she just had this – she liked to party. Which is one of the reasons why her and my dad broke up. They just weren't seeing eye to eye and what they wanted out of life. And she also had a real bad picker. She was just drawn to these asshole drug addicts, womanizers, woman beaters, all that. And so she married this other guy named Merle, and this guy was just a horrible human being. He used to beat the hell out of her. He was a cokehead, so he was always doing coke. I just actually found this out recently, but he actually was molesting my sister at the time.
No way. Wait, were you living with him or your mom? I mean, you were living with your mom or your dad?
We were going back and forth. So every other week, we'd go stay with mom. And then the next week we'd go stay with dad. So him and my mom were living together in a trailer. And so when we'd go stay with them, you know, all this stuff would happen. And I was woken up one night at about 3 a.m. and my mom was just like hustling, grabbing a bunch of stuff and, just saying, I'm like, what's going on? She's like, we just have to go. We just have to go. And so we left that night, and she was leaving him that night. We just basically ran out because that was the only way we could get away. Because he was one of these psychos that was like, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Oh yeah, I know that.
And so
that's the way I am. If anybody ever dates me, that's the way I am. So you guys.
And so things got better for a couple of years. You know, my mom was sort of just working, living on her own. She rented a nice little apartment, and things were going well until she met another guy named Ralph. She married this guy, and it was the same thing all over again. He'd beat the hell out of her. He was always fucked up on something. And this guy, Ralph, man, I'll never forget, just when you look into his eyes, you just saw evil there. Like you could just sense it. I don't know if it was his aura or what, but you could just tell. And I was scared of this dude. I wouldn't go anywhere near him. He scared the hell out of me. And so things weren't working out. My mom wanted to divorce him once again. It was this whole, if you can't have me, nobody can. And it got to the point where he was threatening to kill my sister and I if my mom left him.
Holy shit.
And so I remember walking home from school, and my sister and I, we would see his truck. And he would literally follow us home from school. And it started to get real sketchy. And so my dad actually ended up taking us, and we left the state to get away from this guy. And that's when we went to Colorado, and my mom stayed behind. And about 3 months later, I get home from school. We're living in a new house in Colorado, and I walk in, I see my sister sitting on the couch, and my dad, he sees me walk in. He tells me to sit on the couch, and he just looks at us and says, this is going to be the hardest thing I'm ever going to have to say to you guys. And just tears pouring down his face. And he said, your mom's gone. And it was just shocking. apparently Ralph, he went over to my mom's apartment one day and he told her he wanted to work things out. She wasn't going to let him in, but he told her he wanted to work things out. And so my half sister, I have a sister who's a year older than me, and I have a half sister. And the half sister my mom had with another guy, it was actually the first guy, Merle, who we ran out on. And so my sister and I moved to Colorado, but my half sister stayed behind with my mom because she wasn't my dad's. He couldn't take her.
Yeah.
And so anyways, she was there. And as soon as Ralph got there, my mom said, all right, Ashley, go outside and play. You know, the apartment complex had a little kids play area. So my 5-year-old half sister's out there playing, and Ralph goes in there. He shoots my mom 3 times in the chest and then shoots himself in the head. And so,
fuck, dude, that's how do you know this story though?
It was on the news.
I mean, okay, you said your half sister, she was there?
Yeah, she was outside playing when this took place.
Holy shit, man.
And so the neighbors, they went and cuz they heard what happened, they went and pulled her in and called 911. And my half sister to this day, man, she's fucked up.
Yeah, I imagine. Dude, I imagine I would never recover from that.
I don't talk to her a whole lot. She still lives in Southeast Texas, and I live up here. But you can just tell there's just this permanent sadness in her. And she struggled in school, and she's only half there when you talk to her. It's kind of bizarre. But trauma like that can definitely mess up your entire life.
No, that's the kind of trauma that happens to you and you never trust people ever again. It's just as sad as it is. That's the kind of thing that happens, man.
And this whole experience is definitely scarred me, and I've struggled with certain things. Really bad social anxiety. I have a hard time in relationships, and I'm a severe hypochondriac because her dying at a young age, I've always had this feeling that I was going to die at a young age. So, you know, anytime I ever feel sick, it's suddenly I'm going to die. This is it. I'm going to die like my mom. And, I've bouts of depression and which eventually led me to doing drugs.
Yeah, that's how we cope, dude. That's one of our coping mechanisms. I mean, I'm with you on that. I was a drug addict for 6 years, man. It's just like that's an easy out. It's an easy out to take a substance, feel better, get those endorphins rushing, and just kind of forget about anything bad, you know? It just temporarily.
And I don't I hold myself completely responsible. I don't feel like I should have used anything that's ever happened to me as an excuse to say it's okay that I did it, but I did do it. I just wanted anything that could take me away from reality. I was ready for it. Like, let's do it. I just wanted to party, go to raves. So I ended up dropping out of high school. I had a week left to graduate, and a buddy of mine had this stuff, and he was smoking it. He came over smoking it in the bathroom, and it was meth. And I, up until this point, I've been very adamant about never doing that shit. You know, I'd made a personal goal to you know, dare to resist drugs or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I finally gave in, and I did it, and that was the beginning of like the 2 worst years of my entire life, starting that night. It's the very next day already. How can we get more of this shit? How can we get more? It was like instant addiction. And so,
and all of a sudden that drug doesn't seem like such a terrible thing. Like, why are people so down on this? It's so great, man. You can feel good. And
oh, you feel great. You never felt so great. It's like every social anxiety I've ever had, every confidence issue I've ever had, that was all out the window. Suddenly it was like I was the most confident, smartest, at least in my head, yeah. guy that ever was. You know, I'm just strutting down the street. Like, dun, dun, dun. I'm amazing. And you just feel sharp, you know, sharp, razor sharp. It's amazing. It's the euphoria that you get. It's the most amazing feeling. You just want it to last forever. And so you keep spending all your money and getting more and more. And it eventually gets to the point where you run out of money. So you start coming up with ways to get more that are just terrible. You'll steal from your friends, steal from your neighbors. Honestly, nothing at that point matters more than getting high again.
Yeah, and the sad thing about that is the first couple times you do it, I mean, because I did the same things Brink did, exactly the same thing. I did the same thing. I had a lot of social anxiety. I was never really comfortable around people. And then all of a sudden we did meth at a party, and then all of a sudden you're comfortable with everybody, and yeah, you're happy, and everybody's your best friends. You just want to give them a hug, like, yeah, this is the best night ever. I'm so glad to spend it with you. Really, you're just a guy in a room with some music playing. And there's nothing really that special about that moment. That's how it starts. And then, like, shortly after that, it's more of a trying to keep up to keep that feeling, but you're always just chasing that feeling that you rarely ever get again.
Yeah, dude, you have this sort of honeymoon period where you've discovered this new substance and your life's looking up and you're feeling great and you have all this confidence and drive, and I'm gonna do this with my life now, and I have this invention, man, and I'm gonna invent this, and there's this magic. And then over time you just start, it's like your soul starts leaving your body. That's the only way I can describe it.
You're drained.
Yeah, you start, because you're staying up for days, man. You're sleeping one night a week, if that. And your body starts just withering away. Suddenly you've lost 50 pounds. You look like a skeleton. Your cheeks are all sunken in. You got rashes all over your body because the chemicals will seep out through your skin and irritate your skin. And you got scabs from picking at yourself. And you just look like you're dying. And you are dying. And your mind just starts slipping, man. Like, there are these periods of time where I didn't know if I was awake or dreaming. And I still suffer from a little of that to this day, along with other long-term side effects of doing meth. I'll have these nights where I will wake up and I'll still be sleeping, but I won't be able to tell if I'm actually sleeping or not. And it's just weird, but that's what happens when you stay up for a few days. I mean, you start tripping balls. Like, the dream world and reality become the same world, and you're trying to navigate it and figure out what's real and what's not real, and it's scary as hell.
Yeah, it's like you see things that aren't there, you hear voices that aren't there. Like, if you've used drugs and you've been up at night and then you're hanging out with your family because the next day's Thanksgiving, because it's Thanksgiving Eve, you're not going to stop doing drugs because your family's coming over the next day. Who would do that? So you're hanging out in the room. You're just kind of to yourself because you're the only one coming down off of drugs, and everyone's saying your name. You're like, what's going on? I hear it. Wait, why would my family call me Himes? You just hear it like a million times. You're just like, your mind is checked out, dude. Really?
Yep, completely. And I'm a religious person, and I sort of believe that doing that, I sort of opened my soul. I opened the it's like all this, my whole life I had this big steel door, you know, guarding my mind and my soul from evil. And after I did meth for a while, it's like I just left that door wide open, and whatever wanted could just come through it and just terrorize me. And I would just, when I'd see the shadows and I'd hear the voices, to me that was like demons just taunting me, you know, trying to get me to, it's like I'd gone halfway there and they were trying to pull me the other half. And so eventually I ended up leaving Colorado. It was the only way I could get away from I had completely lost the willpower to quit myself. And so I knew the only way to stop was to go somewhere where I had no contact with the drug or anybody that could get it. And so that's what I did. Ended up moving back to Texas into a different town and basically just sobered up there for about a year.
That worked for you.
Yeah, it did work.
Who'd you move with?
I moved with my dad and my sister.
Okay, when did your mom pass away? I'm sorry, I probably missed it.
My mom passed away when I was 12.
Okay.
I started doing the meth when I was 17. So I was 19 when we ended up moving back.
Wow, yeah, I had a, with me, like I had, fuck, it was like a 6-year journey, man. It was anything but, I didn't own anything. If I owned anything, it wasn't worth anything because I would have sold it. Doesn't matter what it is. My mom buy me a brand new bike for Christmas because I wanted one, and I'd sell it a couple days later, and everything was gone. I own nothing. That's why I love keeping stuff now. Sometimes when I don't need it, like I'll have like an extra TV. Like I don't need an extra TV, but it's like, but I have bought it and it's mine. I can keep it. It feels good just to keep stuff. But what I try to do is I was with this girl and we're like, you know, we're on drugs, talking about how we don't want to be on drugs and let's move away to get away from it. We'll start over, blah, blah, blah. And she moved to Texas. I live in Fresno, California. She moved to Texas. And then when she got there, I was telling her I might move. I might move with her to get away. You figure you could run away from your problems. It'll all disappear. And she got over there and then she tells me next thing, oh, I went to a doctor and I found out I'm pregnant, blah, blah, blah. I'm pregnant. Oh, you're pregnant? She told me you've seen doctors and all this stuff. So it was basically she was just telling me, like, you got to move here. There's no way you can move out. There's no way you're going to get out of this. You got to come here because I'm having your kid. So I'm like, okay. And I took a flight to Texas. And I moved over there. I could run away from stuff. And it worked for about 2-3 weeks.
Oh, man.
Next thing you know, I'm working at a liquor store. And it's like, tell one of the other girls I'm working with. What do I tell her? This is what I tell her. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I moved away from Fresno. I was just, you know, California. I was trying to just get away from all the meth and bad stuff that I was doing. And what did she say? Well, you moved to the wrong place.
Oh, shit.
There you go. Now the cogs in the gears in my brain were just spinning. Like, okay, well, now I know who to talk to. It was very, very shortly after that I talked to her. And then the whole cycle began. The whole cycle, just running around in Fresno, I mean, in Texas, you know, we were living in a cottage. It was really cheap rent. It was like $400 a month, really small. It was like one little room. This little cottage, it was so tiny, man. It was just one room with the sink in it and a little bathroom. We had no power. They let us move in with no power. Like, hey, we don't have power. We can try to get power put in there, but you could still move in. So we're like, oh, whatever. We have our own place. We're going to move in there. So we live in there with no power. Cold water, took cold showers. Took cold showers. We lived there for like a month. But like, so we paid the neighbor $3 a night to run an extension cord to his little cottage and give us like power enough to power and like a radio and a light. You know, we needed a light, which is all fine, man. I was working at the liquor store. Shit. Definitely stealing from the liquor store. Definitely have people come in to the liquor store and like trade me drugs for bottles of expensive alcohol. Like I was messed up, man.
So 6 years you were on this shit.
For 6 years. It was only a couple days. I would say there's maybe 10 days out of 6 years that I didn't do it. Like
that's I'm impressed with the recovery you've had, honestly. Because you seem pretty there and you seem pretty healthy. And that's a miracle, to be honest, because that stuff it kills you and fast.
It is, man. Sometimes it's hard to be open like this to people who might be listening. But, you know, I'm pretty much an open book. I like to reveal my flaws because this is a flaw I've recovered from. I have been sober for, it was 8 years, September 10th. And like, I got to the point I just had enough, dude. I was tired of running around and stealing stuff from stores and going to jail. I mean, I got cited so many times for stealing and it was so many times for petty theft that it turned into a felony. And then that felony, it took me like years to get off my record and doing 90 days of community service, 98, like 8-hour days, man. We'd be out there 115 degrees weather, hoeing weeds out of the ground. And I don't know, man, it's been a rough ride, but yeah, I've been sober. It took me about 3 or 4 years to just have not have those dreams. You ever have those dreams, Brink, where like you're using and you feel so bad about it, and you wake up and you're not sure if you used again for like a couple minutes? You felt like you let yourself down.
Yeah. For a while, I was having those. It's been a long time since I've dreamt anything like that, but I definitely know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of those where I just wake up and feel like I let myself down and my family down. Because, I mean, I have all my family's respect back and trust, which is hard to get back when you're a low scum life, like scumbag like me. And just I took advantage of everybody, anybody and everybody around me. So it's terrible.
So do you have any residual effects with your mind, like leftovers from, for example, the shadow people? I think everybody who's ever stayed up for a few days on meth has seen the shadow people.
Yeah, the shadow people.
And if you don't know, these are dark, shadowy figures you'll see in the distance or in the corner of your eye, and they're everywhere. Like I had a pizza delivery route at the time when I was getting high, and as I was delivering these pizza to houses, I would just I would see shadow people up in windows out looking at me as I was driving by. I would see them just hiding in bushes alongside of the road, and you never get used to them. It's every time my heart would be pounding. It's terrifying. And the shadow people sort of never left me. I was delivering milk for about 4 years, working third shift. And this was just a few years ago. And at night, I would still occasionally see these shadow people. I would see them sitting on top of fences, and I would have to look real close and let my eyes adjust, and they would sort of appear as what they really were, like a tree branch hanging over the fence or something, you know?
A fire hydrant.
Yeah, except fire hydrant, just things like that. And it's like your brain turns these objects into shadow people before it realizes what they actually are. So do you still ever experience anything like that? I mean, I know you work third shift.
Yeah, I work night and I'm outside all the time, so I definitely don't experience that stuff anymore. What has stayed with me is like I am a tweaker still, man. I don't do drugs, but I am a tweaker, man. I mean, like on everything. I mean, it's just the OCD and stuff has just kicked in ever since that point. I mean, I never was really like that before I used drugs, and now it's still with me. I'm like, I can't concentrate. I can hardly ever watch TV shows because I can't concentrate on them. I start getting on my phone, getting on the computer. Video games the same. If you knew how many times I paused the video game when I played it, man, you'd think I was crazy. It's just there's certain things that definitely has stayed with me. But I've grown. I mean, I'll take all that stuff. I'll definitely take all that stuff to not have the desire to use drugs at all.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah, the focus is a big thing for me. I have a hard time remaining intensely focused on a specific thing for more than a minute. And all of a sudden, my brain is just gone in another world. It just sort of slips away. And people, my peers will always call me out for it. They'll be like, Dan, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, huh? And I won't even realize I would just... basically left my body, and I was just floating through outer space, you know, just not even there anymore. And I have to basically struggle to not let that happen. You know, that's like my idle position. When I start idling, I immediately just float away to somewhere else, and I have to make an effort to stay rooted in reality, you know, and it can definitely makes things difficult at work. You know, trying to focus on not fucking up. That's basically what I do all day at work, is try to not fuck up. And my memory, dude, my memory is what has me worried the most. You know, I'm worried. I'm worried I already have beginning stages of Alzheimer's. Some mornings I wake up and I literally don't know where I am or what's going on for a few minutes. And it's really scary. And it's starting to happen more frequently. I'll wake up, my eyes open, and I have no idea where I am.
Wow.
And it's like a couple minutes go by, and all of a sudden, whew, I slam back into my head, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, what's going on, you know, and it scares the shit out of me. I can't remember things like people's names, people's birthdays. And when I say people's names, I mean like people close to me, like my mother-in-law. You know, one day I was having surgery done on my arm because I broke my arm, and they said, okay, who's going to be here to pick you up? And it was my mother-in-law. And I said, my mother-in-law, and they're like, okay, what's her name? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed right now. I was like, I swear to God, I know my mother-in-law's name. And it's like, it was gone. And it's just little things like that, that just such a pain in the ass to deal with, you know, this memory thing.
Yeah, I get that sometimes. Not as bad. I never woke up kind of like, where am I or what am I doing or any of that stuff. But I mean, names, stuff like that. I mean, I definitely have times where I can't think of a name I'd use all the time. And it's like, what the fuck? What is it?
Yeah, for sure. And ironically enough, doing things like since I'm on a podcast, Horrible Gamers, but doing things like this right now, I struggle with maintaining smooth sentences. You'll notice when I talk, I'm constantly leaving huge gaps in my words, and I'm sure it annoys the shit out of people, but it's my brain trying to comprehend what's going on and speak at the same time. I have a lot of trouble with that.
Dude, I have the same trouble, and I know when people listen to it, like, they think I use small words and not big words and small sentences, and I'm a scatterbrain, I totally am. But when you listen to it or re-listen to a show, it's not as bad as you think it is. It's just when you're in your brain, like, you might pause for a sec, and that sec feels like 5 seconds, but it's really like a half a second. And when you listen, you're like, oh, wait, that wasn't as dumb as I thought it was at the time. You know, I have the same thing. I'm like, who the is going to listen to me do a podcast? And I'm like, I'm going to try to host it and have guests and talk intelligently. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I had Rachel Drummond on a couple weeks ago, and she's an author. You know, she's an author, so she definitely knows how to speak sentences. And half the stuff I said, I sounded like an idiot. Like, I felt like an idiot. But I forced myself into that situation. It was great. And Rachel was a super cool person, and we had a fun time. But, like, I definitely listened to
that. Yeah, I think
a
lot of it is definitely your confidence.
I definitely listened to that show, though, the week after. I was like, oh, God, I said that. Oh, I said that. Oh, I hope she doesn't feel bad that I said that. Well, that's kind of dumb. Like, I don't know. And I still feel that way. Like, hey, Rachel.
Yeah, do you ever do this where you'll have a conversation with somebody and then you both go your separate ways and you just replay that conversation in your head for the entire rest of the day?
Every conversation.
Over and over, and thinking of every word you said and how you could have said something different and what they would have said if you had said something different. And it just keeps going and going until it just drives you to the point of insanity.
Yes, I do that same thing. You know, the only people who I don't feel that way around is probably my cousin, my grandma and aunt, and my mom, because I know they accept any dumb things to say. When I go to my grandma's house, I sing and I do all kinds of dumb. I'm like myself at my grandma's house, and I never think about it. But any of my friends, my coworkers, any of the guys on the podcast, anybody who listens to our podcast, I always feel like I'm an idiot. I just say dumb things, and I wish I would have not been myself. But everybody says, be yourself. But I feel like they mean, what they mean is, be yourself until you say something stupid. Stop yourself from saying it.
Yeah. It's so hard to just be yourself. Like, yeah, my wife and kids, they're the only people on this planet who know the real true me. Uh-oh. and know my real true personality. And as much as I try to let myself out in front of everyone else, I just can't. It's instant anxiety when I talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of podcasting over Skype. Like, you don't feel – I see your face right now, man, but I don't feel as self-conscious about what I'm doing or saying. If we were in person, I'd be worried about eye contact. And, like, if I'm not making eye contact – I can't make eye contact with anybody. If I meet them, I'm sorry if I look at your eyebrow or your nose or your chest. It's not because I'm checking your tits out. It's just the way it is, and I'll be looking around like not or wear a hat so it kind of blocks the view off, and then I'll suddenly think about, do they notice I'm not making eye contact? And then you try to make eye contact, and then that feels awkward.
Dude, people who can have a conversation and just stare into each other's eyes is the most bizarre thing. It's so uncomfortable.
I have to, like, if we're at a restaurant, I need a menu there so I can look over that fucking thing 100 times before. before the waiter comes and takes the order. And I'd prefer they leave it there so I had something to look at.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. When I'm talking to somebody, because I know I have to make some amount of eye contact. Otherwise, they're going to think I'm crazy. So I'll basically meet their eyes and instantly look away like I'm thinking about something.
Yeah.
And I'll say a few words and then sort of glance at their eyes again and look away again. It's just, you know how awkward it would be if me and you hung out in person, man. We wouldn't be looking at each other.
We can have a count then. We'll go, okay, you ready, Brink? And you go, ready? Let's do it. 3, 2, 1. Hey. And then look back down, man.
We'd both just be looking at the floor. Hey, man.
That's one of the beauties and the curse. That's one of the gifts and curses of cell phones, because now I find myself, even when I go to my grandma's house, who I feel very comfortable around, I don't even make eye contact in that situation as much as I wish I would. I got my phone. I'm looking over at Facebook. I've already seen every post on Facebook or Twitter, but I'm looking over them again just to keep my mind occupied.
Yep. Man, thank God for video games, though. I mean, as much as that may sound like a child, video games, it's like a workout for your brain and your memory and your concentration. And I honestly feel like that has helped me so much in living a normal life.
Sometimes it's even worse, though. When you get gaming, you start tweaking on a game and you know you want to do something, but you're doing all these small things you don't want to do. You're searching for shit and you're like, stop, just do it. Go where you want to go. And sometimes it's just as bad, man.
Yeah. True. And the addiction, it's like I've transferred. I have to be addicted to something. That's just how my personality works.
Yeah.
And I've transferred it from drugs to video games now. And like, that's where I get my high. And if I don't play for a couple of days, I start feeling weird and I'll get grumpy. And it's bizarre.
Yeah. I'm totally with you there, man. If I don't, okay, like, if I wake up at 3 p.m., I start work at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., if I have to do something, if I have to wake up and do something and I can't come back to my place where I like to be a hermit and unwind and play some video games or something that I want to do, like in between the time I wake up and go to work, I get frustrated. It's like the same feeling I got when I couldn't get drugs and I had to go work for them. Like I need me time or else my day is not going to be the same.
Exactly. And the hardest thing in the world is when you know you're about to go somewhere that's going to be really crowded. It's nothing is harder for me, I think, nowadays.
What kind of crowds?
I'm like in a room packed full of people like waiting in line somewhere, like a concert. Like anything at the mall, if it's real busy, if I can look around and see people in every direction, I just want to like crawl into a hole and never come out.
See, that stuff I don't have. I'm completely the opposite. I love going away at a midnight release for a game and everybody's there for the same reason. You're around a crowd. I love going to Black Fridays, even though it's so packed. I like it. It's like we're all there. We're all excited. It's just, it's the smaller, more personal stuff that drive me crazy.
Man, yeah.
I mean, I hate going to Disneyland if it's packed because the lines are 2 hours, but it's not because there's a lot of people there.
No, I get physically upset.
Yeah.
I just can't take it. I can tough it out for like an hour and then I run. Like even when we have a family dinner or something and the whole family, my wife's family, we're all here eating dinner. I start getting really bad anxiety. My heart starts beating. You know, I get real hot. And eventually after about an hour, I always just like retreat. I go somewhere in a room by myself and I just have to sit there and wait for it to be over.
I know at the big cons nowadays, they have this like thing. If you remember Faye was talking about it, I think it's like takethis.org. They set up a room at like Comic-Con and stuff like PAX, I think. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But yeah, this room dedicated for that when you get anxiety and there's a lot of people around, you need to be by yourself. They have this room set up. You can go in there and just be alone. It's quiet. It's kind of away from the crowds. You can just get your mind back before you go.
That's
back
a beautiful
home.
Thing.
Yeah, it is, but I would be so self-conscious to go in that room. Like, everybody's going to know. Like, everyone's going to know I feel weird.
You imagine coming out of that room, everyone's just staring at you.
Yeah.
Was it Shia LaBeouf who was going around doing this thing where he would sit in a room and have people come in one at a time and just sit there and like stare into each other's eyes for like 5 minutes?
I don't know, but that sounds so creepy, dude. Shia LaBeouf is a creep, man.
just have a conversation with your eyes.
I'm not doing the eye thing, man. Eye contact to me is something very personal and something, I'm going to say it's something intimate. Like I would share that with the girl I'm dating. I'm sure I'd feel more comfortable. I'm so riddled with social anxiety and being around people. I mean, I haven't took a girl on a date, man, in a very, very long time. I find it easier to be by myself. And I know in my brain I don't want that, but it's just like naturally I run and I hide.
Dating is so difficult. So difficult. I thank God I found my wife, man, because my wife has – I'm about as introverted as you can get, and my wife is super extroverted. And so she basically moved our relationship to what it is today. Like it was all her, you know, because I was so – I've always been so shy and awkward. I just – girls would they'd hang out with me and be like, that dude's freaking insane. Like I'm gonna file a restraining order like right now. But my wife, she sort of saw me for the real me straight away, and because she was so extroverted, it made me feel comfortable because I didn't have to worry about should I grab her hand now? Would that be weird if I did grab her hand? What would she think? What would she think about that? And what does that mean?
And Rebecca just walks up and grabs your junk, like, what's up, bro? Man. You have no choice but leaving your junk in my hands. Shit. Yeah, Rebecca's awesome, man.
I remember one day we'd seen each other. I'm not even sure if I should tell this story.
Oh, you have to now. You brought it up, man.
We'd seen each other a few times, and we went camping the night before, and the next day we went back to my place in my apartment. We were laying in my bed watching a movie.
Ooh, sexy time.
And we were just laying there, and the whole time I'm sweating, dude. I'm thinking, all right, like, should I make a move? Like, I want to, but I don't want it to be awkward. And what's she going to think? Am I sure she wants to? But she's here, but I don't know if she wants to. And it's just like that constant mental struggle. And then she just looks at me and goes, what are you, a pussy?
Oh, my God, yes. That's a great story.
And I was just like, oh, my God, this just happened. But it worked because something in mine was like, oh, you didn't just call me a pussy.
No, I know.
Like, I'll show you a pussy. And so, you know, that made things happen. And they probably never would have happened if she wouldn't have called me a pussy. So,
awesome. Hey, man, we got about 20 minutes left. I got to use the restroom. I don't know if you got to get up or get a drink or anything. How about we come back in about 2 minutes and I'll cut this section out.
All right, man.
So I've been like moving around like I got to piss.
Yeah, I got to piss too.
All right, see you in a sec. Back, Brink, man, what's up, man? You took us. Well, it is Monday right now, guys, and it's because Brink fell asleep. He left. We go take a piss because he fell asleep on the toilet.
No, you're thinking of Jesus.
Okay, so we're gonna finish it up here. I guess I really appreciate you listening, and hopefully, you don't take any of the stuff I say too serious. Well, I mean, it's all serious stuff, but don't hold it against me. I don't mind being open with people. I like this, it's my outlet, it's my form of therapy. Podcasting and just being honest, so that's what it is.
And whatever I said, just don't judge Imes' show. You know, he does have better guests. So
yeah, you're the best, dude. That's why I was saving it for the last. This is my last episode.
Yeah,
it's my very last episode.
Sorry, sank like the Titanic.
Oh no, man. So we are gonna finish the show off here with some two lies and a truth, and I got a would you rather that I came up with real quick, and we'll do that. Actually, I'm going to do that one first, man. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather have to point out what race someone was every time you met somebody new? So you had to be like, hi, you're white. Oh, hi, you're Chinese. Or hand everybody you meet a $1 bill and tell them, looks like you can use this more than I can.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, either way, I'd be embarrassed, but the second option, I'd be broke and embarrassed. So I think I'll go with the first one. Just call everybody their race when I meet them.
So you're like, hi, hey, Tragic, you're black. Hi, Iams, you're white. Hey, Jesus, you're Mexican. You're cool with that? You don't think it's going to – that could get you in fist fights, though.
Yeah, but at least I wouldn't be broke, man.
That's why I put a dollar, man. You can afford a dollar.
And I'll – you know – it'll be even more awkward because I won't be making eye contact.
Okay, so you're going to – you know what, dude? I would have to do this. I would choose the dollar one because I just keep loads of dollar bills in my pocket. It would be messed up. You're going to get – no, because that one you can get really pissed off too. Damn it. I didn't think this one out.
Yeah, you think I'd be in trouble no matter what you choose.
You think I would make this in my favor, but I didn't. Yeah, you're right though, but it's like – just. If you meet other white people and you say, hi, you're white, they're going to think, like, this guy's weird and crazy. But if you meet anybody of any other at that race,
they're gonna... Are you allowed to do a cheesy laugh after? Like, hi, you're white. And then it'll just get real quiet after that and you walk away.
Yeah. I don't know if there's, yeah, it's just like, okay, I don't, damn, man. I'm going to have to do that. I guess I'm going to have to do the same one as you because I'm going to be giving dollars away and they're going to... No, I'm going to do the second one. I'm giving a dollar. I'm just going to keep loads of dollar bills and I'm just not going to meet... You know what? I'm just not going to meet anybody.
But then they're going to be like, what you mean, boy? What you saying? I need this more than you. And then they're going to punch you in the face.
If you don't meet anybody, you won't have to give any money away.
That's true.
Yeah. Can you think of any on the fly off the top of your head, dude?
Nothing that a three-year-old, nothing above a three-year-old level of thinking.
It's all good. Okay, let's do two lies and a truth, man. I got some stories here. Are you ready to do this?
Yeah.
Two lies. Let's do a theme song for it. Two lies and a truth. Two lies and a truth. I need to make a little theme song.
I thought it was going to go like death metal.
I'm going to do a little theme song for you.
Two lies.
Like Duhas? Like two lies and a truth.
Yeah, that was definitely very Rammstein-y.
Here we go. Story number one. This is back in, let's say, okay. I hit a hockey puck into a car window while I was playing street hockey back in 95 or 96. 95, 96, probably junior in high school. When the alarm went off, the car alarm went off, the guy came running out to the street yelling at us, like, hey, get away from my car. He slipped on the street curb, on the street. He fell and, like, he hit his face. His face was, like, all banged up. He had to leave and go to the hospital. So, like, you know, he hit the car alarm off, but he went to the hospital.
Wow.
Story two. In high school, I was accused for tagging over a fellow student's name. This student had recently just passed away from a car accident, and I was surrounded and jumped at high school, so I had to hide in the library for the next 6 months, scared to death I was going to get beat up again. Story number three. I once climbed on the roof, the high school roof. This is after I was out of high school. Like, I was already out of high school for 2 years. I climbed up on the roof with an ex-girlfriend of mine. Well, she was an ex-girlfriend at the time. But we were drinking. We passed out on the roof. Woke up. It was Monday morning. School was going on. So there was people at school. So we had to climb off the roof, super embarrassed, and then climb up and then go past, you know, over the field and leave the school.
Nice.
Which one was true, man?
Okay, let's see. The hockey story, just something about it just seems sort of made up to me. So I'm gonna cross that one off.
Okay.
And the school one seems sort of like cliche type of story. So I'm gonna cross that one. And I do know that you were into tagging for a while. So I'm gonna go with the tagging.
That is correct.
All right. There was a win.
There was a kid who passed away. sadly, he passed away in high school. A very young kid. He was, I don't get to see what happened. He had fallen off a car and he got hurt, got a blood clot, went to sleep, never woke up again. Very sad, very sad. But I was accused of tagging over his name and I got jumped. Everyone came and surrounded me at high school. I hung out with a bunch of nerds, so everyone took off. And it was just me standing in the middle of all these thuggish, ruggish high schoolers. I mean, how thuggish are you if you're in high school still? Usually you drop out if you're thuggish, right? If you're a real thug, you drop out. But no, they surrounded me. I got hit a couple times. A teacher came out. He had, stopped it. But I got suspended for a couple days, and then they found out, I'm not the guy they thought I was. So I was able to stay in school. But I stayed in the library for 6 months, dude, during all the lunch breaks and stuff, and just feared I was going to get jumped again.
Oh, that's brutal. So what, did they have a memorial or something, and somebody tagged over it?
I don't know, man. Someone just probably – he probably was – he was a tagger as well, so he probably tagged somewhere, and then somebody – they needed somebody to blame. They had told the counselors that they called me asking if they could if I would donate to the funeral because the funeral needed money or something, and I told them, no, fuck off. I'm glad he's dead. They made up all kinds of lies about me. I mean, I was just a nerd, dude. I was a total nerd. I wasn't no thug, but I did like the tag. I mean, I loved art.
Did you wear shorts with tube socks?
Hey, I only buttoned the top button of my flannel. So it's the top button, and I had a white shirt underneath, and it kind of I was like, yeah.
Did you have bleach tips? Spiky bleach tips?
I had every color. I had red hair, I had blue hair, I had bleached hair. I had all the hair colors, man.
For real, man. I had the bleach tips. I didn't try too many colors, though. I did do some glow and black light red for a while. That was pretty sweet.
The thing about it was, one day I went to the bathroom to use the bathroom, and I'm pissing right next to the leader. And is there really a leader of a gang in high school? Now I think about this stuff, it's so ridiculous. But the leader of this gang, we were pissing. I was pissing at the urinal, the froth. And the guy that comes next to me, he starts pissing. I'm like, holy shit, I'm about to get fucking knocked out right now. And he's like, hey, dude, do you know what time it is? I was like, whatever the time was, I told him, and then I left. And I just realized at that point that they didn't even know who I was. They just needed somebody to blame this on.
Wow. Speaking of urinals.
Speaking of urinals.
Let's say you go into a crowded public place and you walk in the bathroom. There's a line of dudes in there waiting to use the urinal, and there's just a wall of urinals, and one of them opens up. Do you go use that, or do you wait for a stall?
Yeah, that was one of my questions for Matt Bradford when we did our rapid fire questions. So do you use it if there's no divider, or do you go in the stall?
It's one of them ones on the floor.
Yeah, well,
you can't sort of hide your junk inside. You just gotta open out and just pee down on the floor.
No, you gotta make a wall, kind of like two walls like this, and you just hold it around your junk. So it's
hold it as far out as you can with your hands. So
I go first. I feel very uncomfortable in those situations, man. Everyone's thinking the same thing. Don't look at my junk. No, and there might be one pervert in going look at all this junk. look at all these dicks.
Just swimming in the sea of junk and just happy about it.
I'll probably go to I just go whatever's quick and I hate it.
Yeah.
Go to jail, man. You got to take a shower with no dividers and
I just stare straight ahead at the wall because I don't want anybody looking at my junk, and I don't want to be accused of looking at anyone else's junk. Even though in the corner of my eye, I can still see them sort of looking down like creepers. I just stay straight ahead.
Hey, buddy.
I don't know why it would even matter. Who cares if some dude sees my junk, but I don't know.
You don't want to be
does,
in that,
though, at the same time.
Yeah, you're like that. You're in that dude's spank bank forever, dude.
yeah.
So, man, tell me your two lies and a truth. Let's see. I'm going to investigate these.
Okay, here we go. All right. Number one, as I was saying earlier, I lived in Colorado most of my life. And in Colorado, there are 53 14ers. And I've hiked to the top of 47 of them.
I don't even know what a 14er is.
It's a 14,000 foot peak.
And you've hiked to how many of these?
47 out of the 53.
Okay.
Second story. One time, Me and my girlfriend went camping and ended up lost in the mountains for 3 days. We eventually found a road and had to hitchhike back to our car.
Okay.
Third one. I once spent an entire day on a police chase through the mountains after driving for 7 hours trying to escape into the woods. I eventually decided to give myself up. It was then I realized there were never any police.
Oh man, those. Okay, I'm gonna take the first one out because I don't see you as being that athletic dude. But I mean, that could be true. It seems like one of those things. Like you're on a journey to climb up all these 14ers, whatever.
I do love me some hiking.
I know somebody go camping a lot, so hiking and camping, they all go together. But I'm gonna take that one out. I'm just gonna scratch that one off. I'm just gonna go straight for the last one because you're talking about tweaking out and seeing. So I mean, you probably saw Shadow Police.
Yeah, dude.
Was that the real one?
That was real.
Oh man,
that was possibly the worst day of my whole life, man.
Go back on the details on that again.
All right, so I've been up for about 4 days, tweaking mad, and I'm sitting up in my bedroom and I look out. I was on the second story of the house. I look out the window and I see these people looking over at me over my wooden fence. On the other side of my wooden fence, just staring up at me. And I'm like, holy crap. So I close the curtains and I sit there for a minute, open them again, blam. There the people are staring at me again. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm finally getting busted. This is it. You know, the cops know I'm high. And so I haul ass out over to my friend's house, who lived a few miles away. I get there and I'm like, I got to use the bathroom. And so I'm taking a piss. And as I'm taking a piss, I look out of his window and I see the same people walking around in his yard. And so now I'm freaking out. I'm like, I'm for sure busted. I am so screwed. And I was like, no, I ain't going down. I ain't going down.
No.
And so I just jumped in my truck and started driving, man. And I'm like, all right, where could I go? I was like, I'm just going to head into the mountains. Like, if I have any chance of getting away, it's going to be in the mountains. And so I just start driving into the mountains. The whole time I see these unmarked SUVs following me. And they're following me. I'm hauling ass trying to get away, dude. And after driving about freaking 6 hours, literally 6 hours deep into the mountains, I park my truck and get out and start running. And I'm just running through the woods, man. And I see like dudes in full SWAT gear. I kid you not. They're just all up in the trees, like up in the trees, in the bushes. They're everywhere. And I was so overwhelmed. I was like, I'm never going to get away. So I laid down on the ground. I put my hands behind my head and I said, I'm done. I was like, just take me. And at this point, I look up and one of them had come up to me and he was standing right in front of me. So I get up and I'm like, what are you waiting for? Like, I'm screaming at this point. I'm like, just take me. And I stick my head, my face in this guy's face. I kid you not. I look directly into his eyes and his eyes, it looked like one of my friends who I grew up with. I was looking in, but he had a mask over his face. All I saw was his eyes. But I looked into these eyes, and it was my friend who I grew up with. And at that point, I'm like, something's not right. It took this long before I'm like, something's not right. And suddenly, they all disappeared.
You just clicked out of it.
I was in the woods by myself. There were no police. I had completely gone insane. And I was just tripping balls, man. Tripping balls. And so I just drove home. I slept for like 2 days after that. And that was the moment before I realized I have to leave the state. I have to get away from this meth.
Wow, dude. I'm so glad that you were able to just get away and stay away, man. Like, kudos to you, man. It's drug abuse, drug addiction. It is not something to take lightly. If you guys know somebody addicted to drugs, man, it's not something you can just tell them, snap out of it, stop doing it. It's not that easy. It's something that takes over your brain. It's like, and you'd be running through a forest thinking the SWAT's after you, ducking down and seeing your best friend through a mask. I mean, like it's not, you know, like a lot of people think like, why don't you just stop doing drugs? You know, I mean, you see homeless people who are flipping out crazy because they're like really crazy. It's like, that was a small vision of what a crazy guy goes through living on the streets probably every day, and no one understands it. They're just like, this guy's crazy, you know. Like,
yeah, he probably lives in that realm. That realm between worlds, you know. It's and you can't, you really can't just say, wake up one day and be like, no, I ain't gonna do it, because it's compulsive. You don't control these drugs, they control you.
Yes.
No matter how many times you say, today's the day, I'm just not gonna do any drugs, an hour later you're gonna be thinking, just one more day, and then I swear to God, tomorrow is gonna be the day when I stop. And you kid yourself. You're completely under the influence of these drugs.
That's true, man. I mean, till this day, I still have the fantasy of doing meth. And it's not the fantasy of being high. It's the ritual of doing it. It's the ritual, the steps you go through that you physically do to do this drug. It's not the high I remember being great, because all I can remember is doing stupid stuff and stealing from family and friends and anybody who I could take something from. But it's like, it's still into me, man. It's just there's something there a little bit, and I wish it wasn't there, but I deal with it, and I have not done drugs in a very long time.
I do want to throw out there that second story was almost true.
Oh, the second story was
being lost in the mountains. Only it wasn't for 3 whole days. Me and my girlfriend, we were going to go camping, and we decided, we're all tweaked out, obviously.
Obviously.
And we thought we were going to go on a little hike up into the hills away from the campsite. And we just kept hiking and hiking until we're like, all right, that was fun. Let's go back. And we started walking back, and we just never got back to the campsite. We just kept hiking and hiking till our flashlights ran out of batteries. We kept going and going, dude. And we started just freaking out. You know, we thought we were so screwed. We were exhausted. We had no water. We felt like we were going to die. And then the sun started to come up, and we ended up coming across a road, and it was there that we had to hitchhike. We hitchhiked in the back of some lady's pickup truck back up to our campsite. So that was a fun night.
So if anybody wonders, man, the way we tell these stories and we make them sound funny, we're not gratifying the stuff that happens. It's our coping mechanism to cope with the stuff we went through, man. So, that's it. That's it, man. That is Horribly Awkward, episode 13. Who says 13 has to be an unlucky number, even though we talked about unlucky things? 13 episodes. I can't believe I made it this far. I thought this thing was going to die at number 3.
Congrats, man. It's a cool show. I think people are really digging it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. I've had some cool guests, and I'm going to be working on some bigger ones. Next thing you know, I'll have Obama on here.
Oh, yeah. Have fun with that.
Yeah, I know. He's like, you, sir, are unruly and awkward.
So I think everyone's a little awkward, so it's something that could appeal to just about anybody.
Yeah, so that's episode 13. I just want to thank Brink for coming on the show, Mr. Daniel.
Thanks for having me. Sorry for being maybe a little more awkward than
No, there's no awkward, than expected. Man. There's no rules here, man. You just talk about whatever comes to mind, and I hope anybody listens don't hold it against anybody. There's no judgment to be held here on Horribly Awkward. That was awkward. Okay, so Brink, man, if anybody wants to find you, where can they find you? I know you're not on Twitter and you're not on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, you cannot find me on Facebook. You can find me basically on Xbox Live, Brink of Eternity, spelled the way it sounds, on PSN, and just posting stuff on Instagram, man.
That's right, yeah. Follow Horrible Gamers Podcast on Instagram. If you guys see mostly the stuff on there is Brink's photos and stuff. He thinks he's a photographer nowadays, so.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, inspiring, I guess. So anyways, you guys, I'm going to give a shout out to our buddy Steve McManus from the Horrible Gamers Facebook community. He's been working on some music. He's got a SoundCloud page. It is soundcloud.com/cutmaven, which is CUTMAVEN. And he's actually let me use one of his songs for this outro. So it's probably playing right now. If it's not, it'll be playing within the next 20 seconds. depending on how I edit it. But check them out. This track that's playing right now, or will be playing in a couple seconds, is called Maverlock. So go check him out on soundcloud.com/cutmaven. And also he has another one where he works like a collab thing with his buddy, and they work on music together, and it's soundcloud.com/stabworks. Works is spelled with the E, so stabworks. And anyways, any form, support your buddies. And leave me a voicemail, 510-600-3475. Drop me a voicemail or send me an email at horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter, awkward_podcast. Don't forget about the Horrible Gamers at Horrible Gamers with the Z. Find us on there. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Join us if you're a game, if you're a friend of the podcast or just a gamer. Just join the Horrible Gamers podcast Facebook group. And I am They Call Me Iams on all platforms, including Twitter and video game platforms. So They Call Me Iams. Good night. Hey, Brink, before we go, tell us what you've learned today on today's show.
I've learned absolutely nothing.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. Good night, guys. I don't have we didn't have enough stuff in the beginning to like cut in the outros. We gotta make some outro shit. Think of a conversation. Oh, I still need like 3 minutes of content.
Man, I gotta be drunk, I think, to come up with a random shit. Because I'll start thinking about it and it'll come out as silence.
Tell us about the last time you orgasmed. How was it?
It was.
Was it one of those ones where, like, you're done, you're like, eh, it could have been better. Like,
where, like, you're like, really? That was it?
I feel kind of ashamed.
Like, that, I'm not even sure that was worth it.
Wait,
it just.
Did anything come out?
I wasn't even ready. It just kind of happened. And, like, I want to just keep going, but it tickles too much. So I can't. I gotta wait, like, at least an hour.
Oh, man. I hope you guys all enjoy that. All the guys will. All the females are like, unsubscribe.
Yeah.
If any females, I love the ladies. If you guys have a uncomfortable or awkward story, or even a male, if anybody has any uncomfortable stories, send a. I should have said this during the podcast. Send them to the horribly awkward podcast at Gmail thing, or follow me or whatever. You guys can.
Also, join Iams' new dating site, awkwarddates.com.
Yeah, it's awkward. I coined the phrase awkward. It's H-A, awkward. Like, awkward.
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 Hawking a loogie.
Yeah, well, you don't have to hawk it, but. Let it out, dude. Word. Let it out. Anyways, Brink, man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate and I regret it at this point.
I'm sure you do.
It's one of those. Yeah, it's like
this. If you want to just throw the whole thing away, that's cool with me.
After a podcast, it's the same as your orgasm story. Like, I'm wondering, like, was it worth it? You know, I finished early and did I say all the stuff I wanted to? And dude.
The good thing with the name like Horribly Awkward, you got some leeway there.
Yeah, the same thing.
Well, I said it was awkward, man.
I know. Horrible gamers. They say we're fucking horrible. What would you expect? Here, I'm gonna jump off this cliff.
Yeah. he just shit himself.
Well, I told you I'll be back in a little bit. I'll be back. I'm climbing back up, and we're back. Good night.
Might want to wash them drawers, son.